the traditional
grace, desk you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about repentance and the road to repentance. And I'd like to do so by especially looking at the Old Testament story of King Manasseh. Do you know his story? The story of King Manasseh? Well, take a look at that today and understand better the road to repentance. The road we all have to take because we're all sinners. The road back to God. Is that road back to God a short one or a long one? Is it hard or is it easy? And when we do, if we do reach repentance, how fast is God to forgive you, and will he forgive you even if you've lived and gone astray into very evil and grievous sins? Let's take a look at that today by the story of King Manasseh in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 33. What does the Spirit say to us by that? Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about King Manasseh today, let's get a little introduction to the guy. When did he live? Where did he reign? What was his family like? Well, he was born about in 709 BC. He reigned in the 600s over Judah. Remember, you have Israel in the north, Judah in the south. He was over the kingdom of Judah. Therefore, being a king of Judah, he was in the line of David. So he was a descendant of David. Therefore, also he was in, Jesus was one of his ancestors. So he's in the line of the Christ. This is Jesus' great, 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 etc. grandfather, King Manasseh of Judah. So what was Manasseh's home life like? What was it like growing up as Manasseh in Judah in those days in the royal kingship under his father? Well, his dad, Manasseh's dad, was one of the most awesome, best kings Judah ever had, Hezekiah, the awesome, righteous king. And what did Hezekiah, his dad, do? Let's take a look in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 31. He led all Israel away from false gods and worship of demons back to the one and only true God, righteous King Hezekiah, his dad. Hezekiah led all Israel, and they went out to the cities of Judah and broke in pieces the pillars and hewed down the Asherim and broke down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin until they had destroyed them all. Destroyed the devil worship in Israel and led them back to the truth, to the Lord. Isn't this great? Don't you like Hezekiah? We read also that he stood up against the king of Assyria. Remember when the king of Assyria came and surrounded Jerusalem? Hezekiah, Manasseh's dad, stood up defiantly and said, "We will trust in the Lord." And the Lord gave them a mighty victory. He also led Israel to keep the Passover. Remember, that hadn't been celebrated for centuries. Hezekiah restored it to Israel. What a righteous guy he was. And we read of the end of Hezekiah's reign that thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. He did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God, and every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God, in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking God, he did with all his heart, and he prospered. So don't you like Hezekiah? Great, awesome guy. This is Manasseh's dad. This is the household in which Manasseh grew up. A great and righteous king was his father. So what happened after that? Of course, in the course of time, Hezekiah dies. He slept with his fathers. And we read that Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. So here we are at Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old. This is chapter 33. 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. What kind of a king was Manasseh? Was he a good king or a bad king? Can you guess? We read, he, verse 2, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. So what kind of a king was he? Was he good or bad? He was evil. Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of wicked, evil King Ahab of Israel? A choir boy. In comparison to Manasseh. Manasseh led them astray into every evil. He made Ahab look like he was from Leave It to Beaver or the Waltons. Let's read on. The next verse. What did Manasseh do? He rebuilt the high places which his father Hezekiah had broken down, and erected altars to the Baals, and made Asherahs, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. In other words, he forsook the worship of the one and only true God, the Lord, and he went after worshiping demons. Pretty horrific, huh? Now, he grew up in such a good home, though. How could this happen to him? Well, it's the same thing that happens all the time in our days, doesn't it? You have a good, righteous dad, a good guy, you lived in a good home, and the child, when he grows up and comes of age and becomes an adult and goes away to college and gets some power and freedom, he goes into every evil, wicked way. We see that happen all the time these days. How much more for Manasseh, because he was king. So he went back to the worship of demons. Then we read that he built altars in the house of the Lord, in the temple in Jerusalem, that is, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall be my name forever. So he erected altars to false gods, devils, in the temple, the holy clean place. He made it a latrine for demons. That's terrible. What else did he do? And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and practiced soothsaying and augury and sorcery. So he killed his own children to Satan in demonic worship services. He killed his own sons, and multiple of them. It says sons, plural. He killed his own children. How wicked and evil was Manasseh? Terrible. You can hear the siren outside. See how terrible he was? And we read that he practiced soothsaying and augury and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with wizards. What's that mean? That he was into witchcraft. Do you know that witchcraft is actually real? It's the contacting of the unseen dark realms where the fallen angels, Satan's minions, are, contacting them in these spiritual places to obtain worldly power. That's what this guy did. He was contacting evil spirits in. They were his consorts. He spoke with them, and they back to him through the sorceries. And he dealt with mediums, those who contact the dead, which are usually false evil demons, that is, pretending to be dead spirits of human beings. And he consorted with wizards, those who practice incantations, the casting of spells, Satan worship. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So God has to be stirred up and provoked to anger, and it was as if Manasseh was slapping him in the face time and again with his wickedness. We read that he wasn't even done yet. He didn't stop there. Here's the cherry on the sundae. You ready for the cherry on the sundae? And the image of the idol which he had made, he set in the house of God, which God said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. In other words, he made some sort of idol specifically for himself out of stone or wood, and he set it up in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, his own idol, to worship it. I mean, wicked, evil, sinister Manasseh. And we also read, it says, Manasseh, verse 9, seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem so that they did more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. In other words, Manasseh was so wicked, he didn't just do his wickedness for himself. He led all of Judah into such foul, filthy, evil practices of sorcery, witchcraft, and worshiping of devils that he made the Canaanites. Remember the Canaanites that Joshua came in and eradicated and exterminated because there was nothing good to be found in them? Men, women, and children wiped out. So evil were they. He made them look like Boy Scouts. Indeed, he led all the people into his wicked, evil ways. This is wicked, evil King Manasseh. I mean, if you want to give somebody the cake and the prize as the worst person, say the word worst. The worst person ever to have ruled in Israel, it's wicked, evil King Manasseh. Yikes, was he bad. Amen? All right. So what happens to him then? What did God do with him? Did God put up with that? Did he just let him run wild and go into wickedness unpunished? Well, let's read what happens. We read here in verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they gave no heed. So what's God do when you and I go into sin, or when Manasseh went into sin, and all kinds of evil? He didn't destroy him at first, because God is good. He's just. He wants to save the person. What does he do? He sends him prophets. He spoke to Manasseh. Turn back. Turn back. Come back to me. But they gave no heed. And isn't that the case, frankly, with us or with the wicked of the world that don't know the Lord especially, that God calls them. He sends them friends. He sends them family. He sends them evangelists. He sends them co-workers. He sends them a pastor or a preacher. They hear the message, but they don't give any heed. They go into more and more evil. That's what happened here in this case. The call to repent is given, but not often received. So instead of that, the person goes into more and more evil, as indeed did Manasseh here. Went from bad to worse. So what happened next? We'll read it out of this one from the scriptures. Did God let him go on thus? Did he just put up with that then? Having refused the call, did he let him run wild and go unpunished? What do you think? We read here, let's actually go back to this one. Verse 14. Verse 11. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks and bound him with fetters of bronze and brought him to Babylon. What do you learn here about the road to repentance? When you go into sin and go worse and worse and evil, God calls you back and calls you time and time and time again to bring you back. If you continue to go into sin, what happens to you? Eventually, the hammer must fall. God's patient, but his patience has a limit, and he sends in your enemies to destroy you, as indeed he did here. Let's mark this very carefully today on this day of repentance. The Lord is an avenger of all wrong, evil doing. He is an avenger of all these things. God took Manasseh from his throne. He defrocked him. He dethroned him. He took away his power and slapped chains on him, and he brought him away to a foreign, far-off land, Babylon. You know how far that is? 500 miles from his home country into the waste desert, into the hand of his enemies. A terrible calamity to Manasseh, a fearful change of scenery for the king. He fell to rocky ruin, the bottom of the barrel, in chains in a far away land. So let's mark that very carefully today as Christians, that God is an avenger of all evil doing. David said in Psalm 7, he said, if a man doesn't repent, God will sharpen his sword. He has bent and strung his bow. He's prepared his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Boy, we need to hear more of that in the churches today, preached. So, Manasseh hits rock bottom. What's God telling us here? Let's take a quick moment aside about sin and the sinful life. Well, he teaches us here that it's fun for a while, isn't it? You seem to get away with it for a while. God holds back his hand, and the person might feel empowered. Sin tastes so sweet. It's fun to drink of one's lusts and passions, but it doesn't go on that way forever, says God. You having a great time. The hammer will fall. The judgment will come. The crushing finger of God will bring your sin back upon your head, and your enemies will fall upon you, and calamity befall you. It will bring you to abject poverty, right? Ultimate grief, dire despair, imprisonment, and death. Do Do you believe that? God is an avenger. And so Hosea said, they sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. And Paul says in Galatians 6, he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And so it happened to wicked, evil King Manasseh. His roosters came back to roost. It stripped him of everything good, and he was found in a faraway country alone, in prison, chained up, destitute, disempowered, defeated, and near dead. He hit rock bottom. So, what did King Manasseh do then? What, do you think he was just lost forever? Does he forsaken? Did he just fall down and die? You know, he could have. Sometimes that happens. But surprisingly, shockingly, unexpectedly, amazingly, when he was at the bottom of the barrel in utter ruin, he repented. Say repented. He called out to the God of his fathers. He remembered what his father Hezekiah, his dad, had taught him. He remembered the Lord God of Israel, and he cried out for mercy. Let's read it. It says in verse 12, when he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him. Wow! What a total turnaround, would you say? Did you see it coming? That such a man could repent? He sought the Lord, whom he personally had utterly cast off and forsaken to go after every evil. He repented. So what does repentance mean? It means to be going in one direction and to do an about face and turn in the other direction. How long of a road was this for him? A long road to get to there. It didn't have to be. But when he turned, how quick was it to repent? It's a very fast road if you repent back to God. And so God's teaching us here, for a lot of people, you know, you should repent immediately. For a lot of people, it takes them hitting rock bottom. Don't you know that? Some people never repent. But for Manasseh, he turned. And what does repentance consist of? We teach this in Lutheran theology. It's Christian theology from the scriptures. Repentance is two things. Number one, it's confessing your sins, acknowledging your guilt. Number one, he did that. But secondly, it is also faith. Turning to God in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God for mercy and salvation. And Manasseh came to it. He repented, confessed his sins, calling on God's name. So next question I have for you then today is, what happened? What did God do? How did God react? Did God just say, well, I hear it, Manasseh, but sorry, you know, you had just plain too many sins. I guess you're just going to have to keep on going on, living your life in death. After all, you committed too many sins. You had your chance. Goodbye. Have a nice life. Sayonara. Is that what God said, do you think? Nope. Surprisingly, again, shockingly, amazingly, guess what? We read, God forgave Manasseh. What? Yes, God forgave this guy. All these evil, wicked things, we read in verse 13. He prayed to him, and that Manasseh prayed to God, and God received his entreaty and heard his supplications. In other words, he said, I, God, forgive you, Manasseh. I receive your repentance and your confession. Let's mark something here very carefully. What kind of sins was God forgiving here? Were they little sins or big sins? You answer. Were they trivial or monstrous? These were monsters. Okay? He is forgiving him sorcery, witchcraft, killing his own children in fire to Satan. God amazingly saved Manasseh by grace and set him free. This man who had cast up a wake of only evil and death behind him, God said, yes, I know. But Manasseh, I've heard you. I forgive you. Do you know, friends, the amazing grace of God today? So how do we know that God forgave him? Verse 13. He prayed to him, and God received his entreaty and heard his supplication. And what did God do? He brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. So God didn't just forgive him there and leave him there. He restored him out of prison to Jerusalem and set him up as king again over his people, Judah. Can you believe that? Do you think God, friends, might forgive you too? You think? Perhaps? Well, the next question that I have, though, is, but was God just being a chump? Was he being a sucker? Was he just forgiving Manasseh in vain? Was God just giving Manasseh a get-out-of-jail-free card, but then being taken later on in the deal? I'll tell you, no and no way. Because this abounds to the grace of our God in salvation and to the praise of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And look what happened to Manasseh. Did he get out of jail only to go back and return to evil? What do you think? No, he ran back to his old job to right every wrong that he had ever committed to begin with, to make it all right again. Let's read that. Now we're on verse 14. We read, afterwards, okay, so then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Verse 14, afterwards, when he got back to king, to being king, he built an outer wall for the city of David, west of Gihon in the valley, and for the entrance of the fish gate, etc. Great, very great height. He also put commanders of the army in all the fortified cities in Judah. What does this teach you? This teaches you he's no longer going to make alliances with foreign kings and countries for his protection. Judah's going to stand alone against all the countries of the world again, trusting only in the Lord their God, just like Hezekiah, his dad, had done. Sounds pretty good, right? Was he done there? Was that all? Do we hear? Going on. Verse 14, 15. And he took away the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside the city. The fruit of repentance. A new life he has here. He got rid of all devil worship. And it says he threw them outside the city. You know what that word is in the Hebrew? It is shellac. In other words, he shellacked those gods. Say the word shellac. I know you're with me. He shellacked them. That means he cast them out of the city. He threw them out of the city. He hurled them out of the city. He catapulted them out of the city, cast them down like garbage with a visceral hatred for the new love he had for God, the one true Lord. Isn't this marvelous? This is what God's after in repentance. For the joy of a new life. And indeed, we see it here with Manasseh. And was he done even there? Let's put the cherry on the sundae on this one as well. He also restored the altar of the Lord and offered upon it sacrifices of peace offerings and thanksgivings to God. And he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. Marvelous! He led the people in the way now that is right. This was as Father Hezekiah, his dad, had done. So I want to ask, what's God teaching us by the story of Manasseh today about repentance? Well, here's one of the things. Not only is he willing to forgive wicked, foul sins of witchcraft, murder, abortion, killing of your own children, and devil worship, but he doesn't just restore, he doesn't just justify you and say, oh, well, yeah, okay, I forgive you, but I'm leaving you in prison. You still got a horrific life, and sorry, I'm glad you're good with me, you'll go to heaven, but no, I'm just forgiving you, but you're staying in your own curse of your old sins. No, God, when you repent, when we repent, when he repented, he doesn't just justify and save Manasseh, he returns him overflowing blessings rather than the curse, restoring him, setting him up on high, saying, here, now we're father and son again. Let's have a new life enjoy together and go forward as father and son. Does he do this with you? He gives you a brand new life. Now, does that mean that everything is going to go perfect with you after you repent? Well, it pretty much did, but we read, nevertheless, the people still sacrificed at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. So it was almost all right, but some of it was still not totally right. And sometimes when we repent, you know, it's marvelous, but not everything is going to be all perfectly dandy. But you know what? You're restored for a new life with the Lord, and that of great joy. For Israel went in the right way, almost following all of Manasseh's zeal, and they returned to the right after having gone in the way that it was evil. And how abundantly does God restore when a person repents? Okay, watch this. We read that Manasseh reigned for 55 years. Say 55. You know what that does? That makes him the longest reigning king ever in Judah. No one reigned as long as Manasseh. This wicked, evil guy that gets saved, God restores him and gives us the longest kingdom ever. Will God restore you, I want to ask you? And does he just say, well, okay, come back, I'll justify you, but you're still going to have a sucky life? No, he says, come back, I'm going to give you joy with me. You have a brand new start. Let's start again. Father and son, we're going to have a great new life of joy together, and I'm going to set you up, and we're going to have a good time in the days to come serving me in the future. This is a story of King Manasseh. Does it apply to you? You know what? This is not just one guy. God deals with this the same way every time. David sinned in the same way. He came to utter ruin. He eventually repented. God restored him, and he blessed him again. The story of the prodigal son. He also had fun at the start with his sin. He went away into a foreign country. He devoured his living with harlots. He ended up alone, cast off, destitute, and penniless in a foreign land until he came to his senses, repented, came home, and the father ran to him and gave him a big party and said, let's rejoice and have a great new life together. He's going to do the same with you. That's what we're learning about repentance here. So let's recap here what God is teaching us about repentance today through this story. Number one, sin at first seems fun. That's why everybody goes after it, but it only ends in evil. Therefore, repent before utter destruction comes. Secondly, if you do go astray, you know, God's patience waits, calls you back to himself. So repent when you hear it, because it will end in death otherwise, and you can avoid a whole lot of trouble. Thirdly, if you never repent, Manasseh did, but if you never repent, it leads to the worst scenario ever, which is hell and damnation. So don't go there, God says. Remember, 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord is an avenger. And all these things, as we solemnly forewarned you, repent. Fourthly, the road to repentance for many is a very long road, but it doesn't have to be. Note, the very moment you turn back to God, bam, it's very short. You can just confess your sin, come to him, and live and be saved. Fifthly, is God going to forgive even terrible sins? Well, look at Manasseh. He forgave the worst. I ask you, can he forgive yours? Yes, he can, and he will. Sixthly, when we do repent, how fast does God run to restore you? Remember, Manasseh had wicked, evil sins. He repents, and boom, God saves him and restores him with joy. David repented of his adultery and murder, and boom, God restores him with joy. The prodigal son repented of his debauchery and evil, and boom, God ran to him and said, let's have a joyful life new here together. And God doesn't just restore you only to be justified, but to a brand new joyful life with him. And he shouts over you saying, this my son was dead, and now look, he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. Let us therefore make merry and be joyful. And Jesus says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner over who repents than over 99 righteous who don't think they need repentance. Repentance is for the joy of a new life you have together with God. Mm-hmm.